do sincerely hope that all is well with your soul today. We're certainly rejoicing that many who have been traveling these last week and last couple of weeks have returned to us safely. We trust that you enjoyed your journey, and you know how great it is to be home, to come home. I'd like to focus on that this morning. Ask this question: where is home? Let's keep going forward here. John chapter 14, the first four verses, Jesus said to his apostles, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Jesus was speaking about his home in heaven and the fact that one day he wants us to be in his home in heaven. He goes to prepare a place for us to come and to receive us to that eternal abode. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, we read, "We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." He wasn't talking about a literal house or a literal tent. He was referring to our earthly body, our physical body. It's temporary, like a tent. And even our permanent dwellings that we have are really only temporary. They're not here forever and ever and ever. Great structures that were built hundreds of years ago with grand ideas and at great expense, both monetarily and in effort and work and labor in erecting them, lay in ruins these days. And it's difficult even to find where they were. That's true wherever you might go on the earth, whether it be Larry and Linda and Sherry, and they traveled to Turkey and that part of the world trying to find some of the places where Paul had been and where the churches were established, or even places like where Debbie and I went yesterday, went down to Manchester, Tennessee, and went to Stone Fort. Mounds there built by Indians, prehistoric Indians, and so forth, that kind of hard to determine where they were. But they built them at great expense and effort. Our home, we realize, is not here on this earth. We can travel places to see places where Jesus walked, where Abraham and Moses and others walked. We can go where Paul and other apostles walked and see where other Christians lived in the first century. But the main thing, travel that we need to be focused upon, is that travel to heaven, that travel to home, that place where they, not where they have been, but where they went. That's where we want to go also. And so we sing about, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, through this barren land," or, "I've got a mansion just over the hilltop." Heaven is our desired home. And I want to talk this morning about the way home. You know, you take a journey and you get ready to return home. You know where it is, but just like you didn't know exactly how to get where you were going in your journey, and you referred to a map or some kind of a GPS device or whatever, or you depended upon a guide to take you, So also on your return journey, you refer to those same tools and to find your way home. Well, our home is in heaven. Jesus said, the way, you know where I'm going and you know the way. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But I want us to think about the fact that to make heaven our home, we must first desire it. Isn't that true of any trip? Any trip you want to take, you first of all have to have a desire to go where it is you are going. That's true also of our home in heaven. In Hebrews 11 and verses 8 through 10, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was called by God to go to a place where he had never been before, to receive that land as an inheritance to himself and to his heirs. He went, not knowing where he was going. He went by faith because God told him to go. He trusted God and obeyed God. But all the time that he was in that land, he didn't dwell in great cities. He dwelt in a tent. So also did his son and his grandson and their families. Waiting for this city that had foundations. Waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. In chapter 11 and verse 16, it says, now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Even on that journey, living in tents, waiting for the promise of the inheritance for himself and for his descendants, and as they inherited the land, it was just still a temporary dwelling. The real city they were looking for was the heavenly city. They were looking to live where God lives with the heavenly host. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 23 through 24, Paul said, I am hard pressed between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. He loves both. He loved the brothers of his contemporary time, and he loved Christ. He said, I'm hard pressed between the two. But he had a desire to go and to be with Christ. He had a desire to be with his brethren as well and to continue his work. For us to go to heaven, we have to have a desire to go there. Of course, one of the things that stimulates us to a desire of heaven is the joy and the purity and the holiness of that place, the peace that exists there, the love that is constant. Another thing is our desire to escape the torments of hell. Jesus appealed to us on both motives to choose that desire to go to heaven. To find our way home, we must decide to go there. Having a desire to go, we must decide to go. Is there any place you have a desire to go here on earth, a trip that you want to take sometime? Maybe it's a tropical island, maybe it's, you know, someplace in Europe. You can have that desire till the day you die, but you will not go there until you decide to go. And you start making plans to go. So also is that true of going to heaven. Having a desire to go to heaven, you must decide to go to heaven and start making plans for it. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. He is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If we've decided to go to heaven, then we must realize that we need to be willing and that we should repent. We need to stop living a life of sin and start living a life of righteousness. Stop doing what our carnal desire is and start practicing that desire for spiritual things that we are taught about in the gospel of Christ. To make heaven our home, we must know the way. Again, we realize that that way is through Christ. He says, "You know where I'm going and you know the way." And one spoke up and says, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" To which Jesus responded, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Where was he going? "I'm going to be with the Father." Where is the Father? He's in heaven. "And I want you to be where I am. And the way that you find your way there is through me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." Having a desire to be with the Father and with Jesus, we must choose this way that we have in him. We must turn from error and practice the truth that is in Christ. We must live the life that Jesus teaches us to live, that we might escape the death and the separation from God and the torment of that separation. Our way to heaven is through Christ and his church. In Matthew 16 and verses 18 through 19, Jesus said to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the truth. And it was on that foundation of truth that Jesus was and is the Messiah, the anointed of God, the Savior and the King of his kingdom. He said, "Upon that truth, I am going to build my church, the ecclesia, the called out. I'm going to call people out of their sin, out of their separation from me, and into a reconciliation with me, into a fellowship with me. I will build my church based on the fact that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Death will not prevail against it." He would raise those in the church from the dead. They are as dead in that they have sinned and are separated from God. They would be brought to life in Christ. "I will give you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We realize that as we read that in the English, we studied it in the Greek, we see that what he's saying is what you are going to bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Before you speak it to bind it, it was already bound by God and authorized by God. The same would be said to all of the apostles just a short time later. This word of God is given to us by God through the Holy Spirit. And they spoke those beloved, blessed, saving words that bring us out of our sin and into a relationship with him if we repent and if we follow these teachings. The way to heaven through the church is seen in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23. He says that God the Father put all things under his, meaning Christ's, feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. We who have come out of our sin, we who have a desire to live with him and have decided to turn from our sin and to follow him, we are his body. It said the other way around in Colossians 1 and verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. The church is his body, the body is his church. Who is the beginning? He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 makes it very plain. He says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Very few would argue that there is but one God and Father and one Christ and one Holy Spirit, but many want to argue that there's only one body. But God's Word makes it very clear. The same number for the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are made for our hope and for the body, and his body is the church. They follow him the one way, the one truth, and the one life. And they are united with him. The way home is the way of the one faith. As we just saw in Ephesians 4 and verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we might say, well, aren't there many faiths and aren't there many baptisms today? Well, they exist, but in the eyes of God and authorized from God, there is only one. Just like there is one Lord. He is the authority, and he has authorized one faith, that faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. God doesn't say many different things to different people. He says one thing to all people. No one is an exception to this rule of faith. 2 John verses 9 through 11 says it this way, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. It's not just another doctrine. It's not another view. It is a evil doctrine. And the practice of it is to practice that which is evil. If we want to be in fellowship with God here and hereafter, we must recognize there is one way, one truth, one life, one faith, one doctrine, and be practicing that to his praise and to his glory. For to do anything else takes away from his glory, takes away from his praise. Philippians 3 and verse 16 says it this way, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Let us all be of the mind that whatever the Lord says, that's what we're going to do. Speak, Lord, your servants hear. We want to do what your word teaches us. To make our way home, we must know that that one way is not as good as another. Sometimes you hear people say, well, all roads lead to, and sometimes they'll put the word heaven in there. It's not true. There's only one way to heaven. Matthew 7 and verses 13 through 14 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many who go in by it. There are many who go in by it because narrow is the gate. Difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. You know, whenever you take a long journey, there's going to be some sacrifice on your part. You're going to have to save up for it. You're going to have to put time aside for it. You're going to have to get out of your regular routine to plan for that trip. The same is also true for going to heaven. You have to put your desires for the carnal things of this world aside if we hope to live in heaven. There's some difficulty attached to it, but the difficulty is rewarded with life everlasting. Few are they that find it, but you have found it. You have found it in His word of truth. You embrace this hope that is found in trusting and obeying the word of God. Enter by this narrow gate that leads to life. Look forward to it. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." There's a way that seems right to a man, but that's the way of death. It inevitably results in sin. It results in a transgression of what the word of truth teaches. It is in contrast to Christ and His doctrine, not in agreement with it. We have seen the foolishness of trusting in what seems right to us expressed in the nth degree, it seems to me, in our current culture. We have males who say they feel like a woman, and women who say they feel like a man. I was reading about a poacher who was not a resident of Wyoming, but he had been purchasing a hunting license in Wyoming as a resident for many years. And when they finally caught up with him, he said, "Well, I felt like I was a resident of Wyoming." It didn't work for him. It should not have worked for him. And the same way that that is true of him, it's true of those who say, "Well, I feel like I'm of another gender. I feel like I'm this or that." We've got people that say, "Well, I feel like I'm a cat or a dog or a..." It seems to me, well, you're wrong. Sometimes Debbie and I will be in discussions about... Debbie will say, "Well, I said, "Yeah, well, you were wrong." You know? And sometimes I'm the one who's wrong, but not very often. No. You can think the wrong thing. And we've all done that spiritually, haven't we? We've all thought that somehow we can sin and still be in fellowship with God. We're just deceiving ourselves. The Word of God doesn't give us any assurance of that. The Word of God will teach us exactly the opposite. If we hope to go to heaven, if we hope to be in fellowship with God, we need to be in the way with Him. This way of truth and peace and joy and genuine hope. It is the highway home. It's a narrow way. It's a difficult way. When we think of a highway, we think of four or more lanes, don't we? Many people traveling. And there are many who will go to heaven. But in comparison to the vast multitudes of people who have and ever will live on this planet, they are very few. few there be that find it. And yet, Isaiah said in Isaiah 35 and verse 8, a highway will be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. A fool at one time comes to his senses and say, I don't want to walk the highway to hell. You know, back in my days, in the rock and roll days, there was a song, I don't know, Ozzy Osbourne or somebody, I think, sang the song Highway to Hell, somebody did. I wasn't into that heavy rock kind of stuff. No, I want to walk the highway that leads to heaven, the highway of holiness, the highway of righteousness that we've been studying about from the book of Romans. And that righteousness is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the doctrine of Christ that teaches us to turn from our sin and to walk with Him in righteousness and holiness and purity. It's the highway that leads to home. It's a highway out of self. Matthew 16 and verse 24, Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Deny yourself. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. But you have a desire to live in heaven. You need to follow through with that desire and decide to go to heaven and take up your cross and follow Me. It's a highway out of self and into Christ. Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27, you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We're in the season of collegiate football. And every Saturday, those who are fanatics or fans of their football team, they put on the sweatshirt or the t-shirt or the colors of their collegiate team. Maybe it's your professional team. Maybe it's your own local team, your high school team. Maybe you're on a team. And you wear the colors. And you realize that as you wear those colors, you represent your team. It's not just about you. It's about your team. You're promoting what your team stands for. We wear hats and t-shirts that have all kinds of different logos all over them. And when we wear those, we're saying to one sense or another that we're in agreement with that. We agree with it. We stand with it. We'll endorse these things. But do you not know that as a child of God, you have put on Christ Jesus? This is not about you. This is about representing Christ in your life. In the things you do, in the things you say, in the things you think. Are your thoughts in agreement with Christ? We desire to go to heaven. We invite Jesus to examine our very thoughts as to whether we are in fellowship with Him. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are to grow in faith, add to your faith virtue, a standard of excellence. These things are to be in you and are to abound, for so an inheritance will be given unto you into that everlasting kingdom. We are to endure to the end, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. It's a highway of holiness. It's a highway of peace. It's a highway of joy. It's a highway of hope. And yet it is a highway of endurance against those who would stand against us. But Christ is traveling with us. And no weapon formed against you shall be able to conquer you. The highway home is the highway to heaven. In Matthew 25 and verse 34, the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Let's leave this planet. Let's go to be with our Father. The king, of course, is Christ. He is the king of his kingdom. And you are a member of that kingdom, representing him in that you wear Christ in your life, in your thoughts, in your words, in your deeds. Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Who will he be speaking to? He'll be speaking to us. He'll be speaking to Abraham. Abraham, you left your father's home to go to a country that I told you would be for your inheritance, and you received that inheritance, but you realized that there was an inheritance beyond that. Come on, Abraham. We're going home. And all of those who have lived the life of faith, trusting and obeying God, are going home with him. Will you be one of them? It's your choice. Do you have a desire to go? Then decide to go. Turn from yourself and turn to him. Turn out of your way to walk in his way. Be on your way to a heavenly home. You're here today and you're not a child of God. You've decided to turn to be with him, to be one of his children, to make heaven your home. And we'd encourage you to let it be known. Let us assist you in your obedience to Christ in your baptism today. Arise to walk in newness of life with him. If you're here today and you're a child of God out of favor with him and need things, make things right with him, we'd love to pray with you and for you. Please let it be known as we stand and sing this song.